Paul Meacham, Jr.
When we think of mighty men of the Bible, certainly Moses is one of the men who comes to mind. We see him leading the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt. We see him giving a law to the people from God, and we see him passing judgment over the nation of God. In many ways, he is similar to the Christ. Jesus is our deliverer who leads us up out of the land of sin and bondage. He also has given us a law, and when we are obedient to it, he saves us. There's another way that they are very similar. Moses was called the meekest man in all the earth, and Jesus has been a perfect example to us of one who is humble and of a lowly mind. That's our topic today. We also invite your attention today to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Here we read, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Paul is encouraging the Philippians to have the mind of Christ, and that's what we've entitled this particular study, The Mind of Christ. We notice that in order to have the mind of Christ, first of all, we as God's children must be like-minded. We must be united. And that there is great reward promised to those who promote unity and like-mindedness among the brethren. And there's also great wrath promised to those who divide the brethren. This week, we'd like to continue our study by looking at verses 3 and 4 of Philippians 2. In order to have the mind of Christ, we'll be like-minded, and we will be lowly-minded. Read with me our text for today. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." This is a very difficult lesson to learn. Sometimes we are required to change our actions, and a person might change his actions without changing his mind. I'm reminded of the story of a little boy whose mother was scolding him, and she told him that he had to sit in the chair for 10 minutes. That was his punishment for something that he had done wrong. Well, he was not going to sit down. So rather than sitting down, he stood up very defiantly. Well, his mother took him and gave him a swat on the behind and sat him down, said, "You will sit down." The little boy sat there for a minute, and he finally looked up at her and said, "Well, on the outside, I'm sitting down. But inside, I'm still standing up." Sometimes we take the same attitude toward Christ. Sometimes we will change our actions because we feel like we have to, but our heart doesn't change. Today's lesson teaches us that the motives that we have behind our actions are just as important as the actions themselves. And that's the reason this is such a difficult lesson. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, tells us that we should strive to enter into heaven, that rest that's available. Many in the past have fallen by disobedience, and we should not. And we need to understand that the Word of God, this is what will stand against us as a judge in the end, according to John 12 and 48, that Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word is able to penetrate us and to determine whether or not the motives behind our actions are right. And that's something that is being taught about in this particular lesson. It tells us we should not do anything through selfish ambition. By a study of God's Word, we can easily see that anything and all things that are done through selfishness harm the one who is doing them. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10, we read, "By pride cometh nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom." With pride, there is nothing but strife. Selfishness always harms the one who is the doer. Now, last week, or a few weeks ago, rather, we looked at Philippians chapter 1, and we noticed in verse 15 that there were some who were preaching the gospel of Christ out of envy and strife. Now, they were teaching the truth, but they were teaching it out of a wrong motive. The person who heard them would hear the truth taught. In fact, Paul says in Philippians 1 and verse 18 that in every way he rejoices, because whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Now, this means that Paul was willing to look beyond the motives of those people and be grateful for the outcome, that the ones who heard them preach were hearing the truth. The truth was being proclaimed. However, the one who was doing the proclaiming was not benefiting himself at all, because anything done through selfishness always harms the doer. We also need to understand the danger involved with selfish things, because selfishness is a very broad door, and through that door many different evils can enter. In James 3 and verse 16 we read that where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Many times we don't understand why we have so many problems in our lives. Many times we bring some of these things on ourselves by our own selfishness. Many people who are dissatisfied with their state in life, always wanting to have more or have better, are simply being selfish. Now, there's nothing wrong with having good things, but we need to put it in its proper perspective and seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Paul continues in this teaching, then, of having a lowly mind by teaching us that we should esteem others better than ourselves. There's a parable that Jesus taught. It's found in Luke chapter 14, and it begins in verse 7. He teaches it this way. He told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him, and he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowliest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Now, Jesus is not teaching us to take the worst chair at a gathering, hoping that someone will come and move us to a better chair. Rather, he's telling us that we should not worry about exalting ourselves. We should humble ourselves before God, and he is the one who will exalt us. If we abase ourselves, he will lift us up. Now, Jesus taught this lesson not only by parable, but he taught this lesson of humility with his own actions. In John chapter 13, beginning in verse 4, we read that he rose up from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He took upon himself the job that was usually reserved for the lowliest of a slave in the household. People wore sandals at that time rather than complete shoes that covered all of their foot. They did much of their traveling by walking, and when they came to their host's house, he would provide something to clean their feet. If he had a servant, many times that servant would be given this task, but it was not considered a very honorable job. Jesus took what was the lowliest job that a servant would have, and he took that on himself. We find in chapter 13, beginning in verse 12, that when he had washed their feet and took his garments, he sat down. And he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. For if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Now, some have misunderstood this passage and concluded that we should wash each other's feet as an act of worship. This passage is not talking about worship at all. If it was, then Jesus would have been worshiping his own disciples, and such is certainly not the case. This is a passage that teaches service, service to each other, and the necessity to have a lowly heart. Jesus took the lowliest of jobs and then taught them the lesson, "I am your master. You call me master, and I am. And since you are my servant, and I would do this, you should not think that you are too good to serve each other. You should have a humble heart, a humble mind, a lowly mind, and be willing to serve your brothers and sisters." This is true because selfishness, when we possess it, always comes from loving ourselves more than we love others. Selflessness always comes from loving someone else. In Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9, we're taught, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." We should look at our brothers and sisters as better than ourselves. That doesn't mean that we run ourselves down, but rather it means that we should see in them the soul that is worth more than all the world. We should see in them a soul that our Lord and Master died for, and because of that, we should esteem them very highly. We should be kindly affectionate to them. We, in honor, should give them preference. If we do these things, then we will be taking on the mind of Christ. We will be like-minded, and we will be lowly-minded. And without that kind of humility, we will never be able to properly emulate Christ.